If you had to describe what's going on inside the GOP with just one word, what would it be?
I'd say the first word that comes to mind is maybe messy.
Messy.
Now to a leadership shakeup in the GOP and a critical moment for Republicans. Internal divides over last year's election and the future of the party have again come to a head.
With House Republicans on track to expel Liz Cheney from her leadership post as early as next week, her likely replacement, Elise Stefanik, is already auditioning for the job.
I'm Jeremy Siegel. This is Politico Dispatch. And today,
you know, I had to go back and ask some members who used to serve in leadership and otherwise who know the Capitol well. And they said they have never seen an example of someone basically being pushed overboard from the leadership. So, I mean, at least so blatantly.
Olivia Beavers on Liz Cheney, Elise Stefanik, and the blatantly messy fight over the future of the GOP.
Liz Cheney is the top female House Republican, and she's the number three in leadership. Her job is to basically do messaging for Republicans. Mm-hmm. She's the daughter of Dick Cheney. She was viewed as a, you know, maybe a potential speaker one day. But after January 6th, she came out and voted to impeach President Trump.
We have some breaking news. Wyoming Congresswoman and House Republican Conference Chair Liz Cheney says she will vote to impeach President Trump, releasing a statement that says in part, "The President of the United States summoned this mob, assembled this mob, and lit the flame of this attack."
That really started shifting the dynamic of kind of her political trajectory.
Well, Wyoming Congresswoman Liz Cheney's vote to impeach President Trump has sparked a political firestorm against the third-ranking House Republican. In Washington, some Republican House members, including Montana Congressman Matt Rosendale, are circulating a petition calling for Cheney's removal as chair of the House Republican Conference.
I think there needs to be a vote. When you're the conference chair and you're the person who speaks for the conference and you take a position that 96% of the conference disagreed with and you do that ahead of time, She didn't just go voter conscience on the day of the vote.
Why is it that America has such a disappointing Congress? Because in a lot of ways, Liz Cheney is exactly like Congress. Deeply unpopular and owned by special interests.
But Wyoming Representative Liz Cheney has survived a vote by House Republicans to keep her leadership spot after she defended her support for impeaching former President Trump as a vote of conscience.
So, Olivia, Cheney votes in January to impeach former President Trump, and because of that and some of her comments criticizing Trump and other Republicans for refusing to accept the results of the November election, she sees her situation change completely in Congress. She starts getting attacked by members of her own party, is censured by the GOP in her home state, and the House GOP holds a vote on whether she should keep her leadership position, a vote she obviously survived.
This is the same leadership team with the ranking members and others that came 5 seats away from winning a majority when everybody in America thought we were going to lose 20 seats.
I distinctly remember Kevin McCarthy, the House Republican leader at the time, defending Cheney before and after that vote.
Yes, we allow differences of opinion inside our conference. They're welcomed.
But now McCarthy is behind a renewed effort to oust Cheney once again, a vote that could be held as early as Wednesday this week. What has changed and what could happen this time around?
This time it's really different. Last time it was the House Freedom Caucus, which is an ultra-conservative group, and basically, they were the ones leading the charge against her. This time, she has frustrated more moderates. I've heard she's frustrated Republicans who also voted to impeach. And she has McCarthy and other members of GOP leadership whipping against her. So it looks really likely that she will not survive the vote. And that is a sentiment that I've heard from many Republicans that I've talked to. No one seems to think that she's going to survive this. Mm-hmm. McCarthy, who is the GOP leader, Kevin McCarthy, he will argue that it was not her vote, but it is the continued insistence that Republicans need to basically recognize what was wrong about their messaging of stop the steal and condemn Trump and remove him basically as the face of the party. And so she has refused to back down over the course of these several months. And that has really led to this entire movement by Trump allies, including members of leadership, to oust her, saying that she cannot effectively do messaging for the party if she can't get on board with the fact that Trump is still a major part of it.
So as Republicans are getting ready to oust Cheney from her leadership position, there's one lawmaker who's kind of emerged as the clear contender to replace her, Elise Stefanik, the congresswoman from New York. Could you just tell me about who she is and why she's emerged as the front runner here?
Elise Stefanik is a young, up-and-coming riser in the Republican Party, coming in with a bunch of promises that she will lead the conference in a way that's different like Cheney. So she's saying, you know, if I have to make a vote that is different from where the conference is going, I will resign, which is not what Cheney has done. And she's also promised that she's only going to serve out the rest of this term. So that is another way of assuring sort of these conservatives who don't really believe that she is conservative enough. She has a moderate record. She started out moderate and then she became much more pro-Trump during the first impeachment in 2019 and 2020. So she's kind of had this little bit of transformation, but members of the Freedom Caucus are not entirely buying it.
But regardless, Stefanik is someone who did not vote to impeach Trump like Cheney did earlier this year. She's also someone who has reinforced Trump's untrue claims of an unfair election, recently going on Steve Bannon's podcast, backing a controversial audit of results in Arizona from November 2020.
I fully support the audit in Arizona. We want transparency and answers for the American people. What are the Democrats so afraid of? The voters in Arizona and the state Senate in Arizona pursued this audit. I fully support it. Transparency is a good thing. We need to fix these election security issues going into the future.
I know you said leaders like McCarthy say this is a vote about messaging, but at the end of the day, considering where Cheney's taken heat, namely on impeachment and criticizing claims of election fraud and the fact that Stefanik is amplifying those claims, is this a vote about Trump's role at the center of the GOP and, you know, there not being room for dissenting voices like Cheney's?
The Republicans that I talk who want Cheney out, they're arguing that this is more a matter of you can't have someone in leadership who will not embody the messaging that fits the majority of the Republican conference. But that doesn't mean that the optics that go beyond the Capitol, that go beyond the Beltway, don't have those impressions. So that is certainly something that people are seeing. Cheney is this anti-Trump figure in the Republican Party, and they are kicking her out. And she's the only one who's vocal about her feelings about the former president in leadership. So you are seeing kind of this impression that it's not just the only woman in leadership, but it is also the only Trump critic. And, you know, in politics, optics matter. And so that's also why they are being very conscious about who is replacing her. But in the same vein, Elise Stefanik is now a very pro-Trump person. So that is a big change that's happening.
Does this feel like a turning point in the Republican Party to you as someone who, you know, is spending every day basically with these people? Does this really feel like the inflection point that it seems like it's sort of become?
I would personally describe it more as a confirmation of the way that the party was heading. So January 6th, when you saw Republicans both privately and publicly coming out and condemning Trump, that seemed like a turning point because the party was already becoming very pro-Trump after his time in office. But after January 6th, there was this huge reckoning of who was this person I supported. I had, you know, members who will still be very pro-Trump publicly telling me I only supported the guy for the policies, how horrible of him to throw his vice president, his loyal vice president, under the bus. They couldn't reconcile it. So that was what I saw was a turning point, but like a rubber band, it snapped back. And then, you know, some of the Republicans in the party, like Kevin McCarthy, recognized that Trump still had this powerful hold on the GOP. And that's where you actually saw the turning point go back to the same path that it was already on.
Olivia Beavers, thanks so much for talking with me.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Also today, President Biden is set to announce that he's appointing Thea Lee, a former top aide at the largest U.S. labor group, to a key position at the Labor Department. That's according to three people familiar with the move. Lee is expected to lead the department's Bureau of International Labor Affairs, where she'll help oversee enforcement of the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement. Lee was most recently president of the Economic Policy Institute and spent two decades of her career working on trade issues at the AFL-CIO, where she long advocated for stronger labor and environmental provisions in free trade agreements. And the White House's coronavirus response coordinator is defending the U.S.'s decision to pause the use of Johnson & Johnson's coronavirus vaccine. Speaking with CNN on Sunday, Jeff Zients said it was, quote, not at all a mistake to place a hold recently on the shot over concerns of exceedingly rare blood clots. Critics of the move have suggested it made vaccinating the country more difficult, but Zients said if anything, the FDA's hold on the shot helped build confidence that people know the agency and the CDC are monitoring vaccines for safety. Music in today's episode was composed by Breakmaster Cylinder. And just a reminder that if you like Politico Dispatch and want to help us out, you can do that by telling a friend to check out the show. I'm Jeremy Siegel. Thanks for listening.